नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 3 टेक्स्ट नंबर 6। रीडिंग द प्रोज।
परिजनानुराग विराचित शबल संक्षप्त शलील शीता किशलया तुलसी का दुर्वाणु कुरैरपी संमृतया सपर्यया कीला परम परितुष्यसी।
ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाई डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति विधान स्वामी प्रभुपाल। ट्रांसलेशन। ओ सुप्रीम लॉर्ड, यू आर फुल इन एवरी रेस्पेक्ट। You are certainly very satisfied when your devotees offer you prayers with faltering voices and in ecstasy bring you tulsi leaves, water, twigs bearing new leaves and newly grown grass. This surely makes you satisfied. Purport. One does not need great wealth, education or opulence to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one is fully absorbed in love and ecstasy, he need only offer a flower and a little water. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, I will accept it. This is from Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 9, Text 26. The Supreme Lord can be pleased only by devotional service. Therefore, it is said here that the Lord is surely satisfied by devotion and nothing else. Quoting from Gautama Tantra, the Hari Bhakti Vilas states,
Tulasi dala matrena jalasya chulukena va vikrinite swamatmanam bhaktebhyo bhaktavatsala.
Sri Krishna, who is very affectionate towards his devotees, sells himself to a devotee who offers merely a tulsi leaf and a palm full of water. The Supreme Lord is causelessly merciful upon his devotee, so much so that even the poorest of men can offer him a little water and a flower in devotion and thus please him. This is due to his affectionate dealings with his devotees. Respect. You are certainly very satisfied when your devotees offer you prayers with faltering voices and in ecstasy bring you tulsi leaves, water, twigs bearing new leaves, newly grown grass. This surely makes you satisfied. In the Shastra it is mentioned, Nityo Nityanam Chetana Chetananam Eko Yog Bodha Vidrati Kaman. Lord Krishna is the maintainer of all the living entities in this world, in this entire creation, and he is completely satisfied in himself. It is said in the spiritual world there are thousands and thousands of goddesses of fortune who are ready to serve the Supreme Lord in every aspect. But at the same time, Lord Krishna is Bhava Grahi. That means he is attracted by pure devotion. Srila Prabhupada mentions that Lord Krishna sees the intent or the purpose in which someone offers him anything. That's why in Bhagavad Gita it is mentioned that Lord Krishna declares to Arjuna that if anyone offers me a leaf, fruit, flower or water with love and devotion, I accept it. So it is not what is given that the Lord accepts, but in the way in which it is given, Lord accepts. If it is offered with devotion, the Lord accepts it. We have many glaring examples in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures where the Lord, we see how he accepts the offerings of his devotees. In this particular verse, the Lord is glorified in a way where He said that the devotees, when they offer Lord, even in faltering voices, that means somebody, even he offers glorification to Lord, but if it is with devotion and those prayers may not be so perfectly composed also, the Lord accepts that. Not only that, anything. Here it says even the twigs, the Lord accepts the devotion when it's offered in this way. What is a twig? Twig is such an insignificant thing. Srila Prabhupada in the purport, in the 9th chapter of 26th verse, mentioned that what is so difficult for someone to give to the Lord? You can get a leaf, a flower or fruit anywhere. And if you just take it and offer it to Lord with devotion, the Lord will accept. Of course, we find in the Srimad Bhagavatam many stories. Mahabharata we find how the Lord actually saved His devotees, the Pandavas, from the calamity. You know the story of Draupadi and the Pandavas who were exiled in the forest, and Duryodhan wanted Durvasamuni and his disciples to go and visit the Pandavas. But he was told to visit in a way when they already finished their food. Draupadi had what is called as Akshay Patra, and Draupadi, once she finishes eating this, then the Akshay Patra would not produce any food. But till then, till Draupadi doesn't finish, then she can feed any number of people, any quantity of food, prasad. But as would have it, Durvasamuni and his disciples reached the place after Draupadi finished. And this was such a dilemma for Yudhishthir Maharaj. But as an etiquette, Yudhishthir Maharaj welcomed Durvasamuni and told them to perform their noontime duties, go to the river, have bath and come back. And meanwhile, Draupadi disclosed to Yudhishthir that now there is no way we can feed him. And the only shelter Draupadi had was, remember Krishna. And when Krishna was remembered, Krishna came there. And Krishna very jokingly asked Draupadi that please give me some food to eat, I am so hungry. And Draupadi was crying, she didn't know what to do. He said, my dear Lord, there is nothing in the house to eat. He says, definitely there should be something, show me the pot. And when Draupadi gave the pot to Krishna, Krishna found a small vegetable leaf there. And he just accepted it and he says, now I am full. You have satisfied me in this way. And as soon as Krishna ate that, and so because Krishna is called the root of all material existence, when Krishna is satisfied, entire living entity, all the living entities in this universe satisfied. So you find that automatically Durvasamuni and all his disciples were belching. They felt their stomach full. Krishna told Bhima to go and bring the Durvasamuni and his disciples. But they were belching so much, their stomach was so much full that they felt that if they don't honor Yudhishthira's hospitality, probably they will invite the wrath of Bhima. And then as they saw Bhima coming from there, they just ran away from this place. So how Krishna saved these devotees from this calamity. We find how Gajendra also, how Gajendra, who was the king of elephants, was proud of his strength. But then when he entered into the lake for having a bath with all the she elephants, find that Gajendra was caught by the crocodile. And Gajendra at first thought that he can, with his might, can release himself from the clutches of the crocodile's jaws. But it's not possible. Because the crocodile was the animal of the water, and Gajendra was, because he was an animal of land, it was a foreign environment for Gajendra. So it went on for a long, long time, almost more than 1,000 years, it said in Srimad Bhagavatam. And then slowly Gajendra started losing his strength. Crocodile was gaining strength. And that time he was helpless. And in that helpless mood, because he had performed devotional service in his previous life, he was made to remember the wonderful prayers which he should offer to the Lord. And he offered wonderful prayers praising the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as soon as he saw the Lord Vishnu in his Garuda carrier coming, he offered flower in devotion to the Supreme Lord. And Supreme Lord came there and with his Sudarshan Chakra slashed the head of crocodile and thus released Gajendra from his clutches. We find that how the Lord, you know, accepts a fruit also. Example, Srila Prabhupada gives that how Vidur, when Lord Krishna went to Vidur's house, Vidur was so much overwhelmed by Krishna's presence there that wanted to offer Krishna something, but in that situation, when they were totally overwhelmed, in that ecstasy, the Vidur was offering the banana skins and throwing the banana. And Lord actually accepted the banana skin out of love and affection for his devotees. Lord is so much sold off to his devotees that when somebody offers him with love and devotion something very insignificant, Lord accepts it. How we know in the case of Sudama Vipra that the Lord actually snatched from Sudama's packet the puffed rice and he put it in his mouth. And as he was about to take another morsel of food, Rukmini just stopped him from doing that. And the purport is mentioned that how that when the Lord accepts his devotion, he is completely sold off to his devotees. So Rukmini was thinking that by one morsel you have actually sold off yourself, by your other morsel probably, you know, we will also have to completely be sold off. That was one thing. And then how Lord reciprocated with his devotee, thinking that, you know, by just Sudama Vipra giving me this puffed rice, there's nothing in this entire creation which I can give it to him. It is not even equal to whatever I possess in this entire creation. So, but then he thought at least I should give him something. And it said that he was so much embarrassed that he could not give him in reciprocation the gift in front of him, because he thought, what can I give him? But then he decided to give him something and he got Sudama Vipra, wonderful palace, much more opulent than Indra's palace. So this is the Lord Janardhan, Bhavagrahi. He is always subordinate to love and devotion of his devotees. We find in Chaitanya Charitamrita also how Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted with devotion whatever was offered by his devotees. It is said that Damayanti, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taken sannyas and went to the Jagannath Puri to stay, every year Damayanti would always prepare shukta, dried shukta leaves and then other ingredients which will help her to overcome the indigestion. And it is said that Lord was so much, you know, accepting it, because Damayanti would prepare it with so much devotion. It said that whatever she would prepare would always remain fresh. She would make different packets for all the 365 days and then it would always remain fresh because it offered it so much of devotion and the Lord accepted it completely. We find that how Lord, you know, when he delivered Chand Kasi, he went all the way to the house, ran to the house of Sridhar Koluvecha. When he was young, as Nimai Pandit, he would always argue with Sridhar Koluvecha and bargaining for the banana leaves and the banana cups. And then he revealed, he told Sridhar Koluvecha that I will reveal in future the wealth which you are having. And said that as soon as he delivered Kankas, he ran to the house of Sridhar Koluvecha. And then there, outside his house, Sridhar Koluvecha was very poor person, poor Brahmana. He had nothing to eat. He would sometimes go hungry for days and days. He would have nothing to eat. But he would always be completely, you know, engrossed in chanting the holy names of the Lord in ecstasy. And the Lord, he went and he just saw the pot which had water and he drank from that pot. And that pot, Sridhar Koluvecha used for all the purposes. for his morning duties, for his drinking, for everything. And that he just drank away completely. And when Sridhar Kolhatkar saw this, he says, "My dear Lord, what are you doing?" Actually, the Lord was testing the devotion of Sridhar Kolhatkar. We find how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he grabbed from Raghunathas Goswami. What Raghunathas Goswami would do is that whatever the remnants of the Telanga cows, which they would just spit out, which they would not like to have it, those things Raghunathas Goswami would take, he would wipe it off, wash it nicely and cook it and eat it. And that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu grabbed it from his hands and he ate. So Lord was actually testing the devotion of his devotees. We find here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that how the Lord is affectionate to his devotees and he sells himself to a devotee who offers merely a tulsi leaf and a palmful of water. And we have this example how Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentions one of the external reasons for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance is because Advaita Acharya, he actually meditated on this verse. He saw the futility of this or the hopelessness of the conditioned souls in this age of Kali Yuga, that people were completely engrossed in materialistic sense gratification and devotional service to the Supreme Lord was a completely forgotten thing at that time. And Advaita Acharya thought that what is the hope for these people? There is no hope at all. And it's only if the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself comes onto this planet earth and only then these fallen living entities will be delivered. And then meditating on this verse, Advaita Acharya decided to pray to the Supreme Lord to advent. And then it is mentioned that how Advaita Acharya sat on the bank of Ganges and he offered tulsi leaves and the Ganges water. And he offered prayers to the Lord to advent in this age of Kali Yuga. And because of him, Krishnadas Kaviraj mentions, Goswami mentions that Lord actually advented in this age of Kali Yuga as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to deliver all mankind through the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. So you find that how the Lord is completely subordinate to the love and devotion of his devotees. Now these are the examples which illustrate us to say that how if anyone offers anything to the Lord with devotion, so the Lord accepts it. Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he mentions that how this devotion service, the process of devotion service is so rare, but by the mercy of the Lord, anyone in any state of life can perform this devotion service. When we see the examples, we know that this is what the devotees of the Lord actually perform, the devotion, and how the Lord accepts the devotion. But if we try to imitate, probably we may fall down. If we do in a very, very spontaneous way and without any knowledge, probably we may fall down. Lord may not accept our, because being conditioned in nature, we have so many anarthas in our heart, difficult for us to offer in that consciousness, and definitely the Lord will not accept it. So Rupa Goswami mentions that how devotional service has to be understood in a proper consciousness. In the second chapter only, Rupa Goswami starts elaborating about the devotion service. How devotion service, there are three steps in devotion service. One is devotion service in practice, devotion service in ecstasy, and devotion service in pure love of God. So it is mentioned that as a sadhaka, people, anyone who takes shelter of the Lord, engages in his mind and senses. One has to engage in mind and senses in the service of the Lord. And that is what is devotion service in practice. And it is said that it behoves each and every devotee to follow what is called as Vaidhi Bhakti. That is regulated devotion service. Vaidhi Bhakti is sadhana bhakti. It is compulsory for all of us to follow the sadhana bhakti. And he said that sadhana bhakti, engaging your mind senses in the service of the Lord, gives a very nice example how he mentions that the Krishna consciousness, the process or law for Krishna is dormant within everyone's heart. And by a regulated practice of devotion, one awakens that natural Krishna consciousness which is within our heart. Gives an example how the child may not be able to walk, a 1 year old child, but then in due course the child starts walking. So similarly, when devotional service is done under regulation, then a stage will come when you will achieve pure love of Krishna. He mentioned that how sadhana bhakti is divided into two. One is according to regulated principle, that is vaidhi process, in which it is said that how one has to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. One has to take shelter of bona fide spiritual master, take initiation from him and then serve him. And he said the basic principle is always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Smartavya satatam Krishna Vishnu vismartavya na jati. He says always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. That is the basic principle. And he says everything else is just a detail as to how one should perform devotion service. And he said that this Vedic principle, Vedic bhakti, that one follows the orders of spiritual master, and under the orders of spiritual master perform various devotional service under regulation. And the other aspect is Raghavanu Bhakti. Raghavanu Bhakti means a spontaneous devotional service. Srila Prabhupada mentions that a simple example, just like something like a regulation, Rupa Goswami enumerates 64 items of devotional service as to what one has to do, the main items, what one has to do to achieve love of God in due course. But what is spontaneous devotional service? This also comes from sadhana bhakti, but it says, gives an example, just like if somebody is told to rise early in the morning. So in the beginning, it will be very difficult for someone to rise in the morning. It is a tapasya to rise in the morning and do deity worship or attend Mangal Arati. But after some time, it will become natural for a person to get up in the morning. He would love to get up in the morning. He would love to worship the deities. So this is what is spontaneous devotional service. So as and when you follow the orders and you follow the instructions very strictly in your life, a stage will come when you will naturally like to do those particular activities. You may like to dress the deities very nicely. You may develop various means and ways of decorating the deities, worshipping the deities, performing various devotional services which have been ordered to do. So all these things are possible. So this is, you know, in the stage of spontaneous view. And then once you do that, a stage will come when you will be free from material contamination. There is anarth nivritti. Rupa Goswami mentions that a stage will come when you will be free from all material contaminations, which, you know, at least most of us, we are in that stage. We are trying to cleanse ourselves, and we are not in that stage where you are completely cleansed of material contamination. But once you are free from this material contamination, then Rupa Goswami mentions, then you will be engaged in what is called as devotional service in ecstatic mood. And said this is possible, he said, only by constant association with pure devotees of the Lord. Or it is possible by the mercy of the Lord or his pure devotees. So either by constant association with pure devotees or by the mercy of the Lord and his pure devotees. There is a difference between them. Rupa Goswami explains, Srila Prabhupada gives an example how by constant association with pure devotees, it said that pure devotees always carry the Lord in his heart, in their heart, and they are 24 hours engaged in the service of the Lord. And because they are 24 hours engaged in service of the Lord, and these pure devotees can inject Krishna consciousness or law for Krishna within the devotees. Gives an example how Narad Muni, when he was a small boy in his previous life, he would constantly associate with the sadhus in the forest, serve them. And by regular association with the devotees in his next life, he got his position as Narad Muni. He says, Prabhupada mentions that for most of the sadhakas, it is by constant association with the pure devotees that one can gradually come to the stage of ecstatic love for Krishna. And for very few, it may be by the mercy of the Lord, directly by the mercy of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada gives an example, just like when you go to the college, you have to go by grade and then ultimately achieve your degree. But there are very few people who will be sitting idly at home and getting a degree in his house. Very difficult. Similarly, you can't just sit idle and say that I will expect the mercy of the Lord, I will wait for the mercy of the Lord. You have to perform your devotional service. And very rarely someone will get this mercy directly. Gives an example how Shukdev Goswami in the womb, he received the mercy. By the mercy of the Lord, as soon as he came out, he just engaged into pure devotional service. Whereas Prahlad Maharaj received mercy by mercy of his, of the pure devotee, Narad Muni. Narad Muni just instructed him when he was in the womb, and then as soon as he came out, he was engaged in the Lord's service. So it is said that the ecstatic love, that is in ecstasy, pure devotional service in ecstasy, most of the time, for at least the sadhakas, it is by the constant association of devotees of the Lord. And here it is mentions about what is the character of one in pure, in ecstatic love, devotional service in ecstatic love. What are the characters of those? If you have those characters in yourself, then you can consider yourself in ecstatic love for Krishna. And he enumerates 9 points in those characters. He says, number 1, he says, a person who is in ecstasy for Krishna, he says, utilizes all his time in Krishna service. He doesn't like to waste even a single moment for anything else other than service for the Supreme Lord. So I would like to just correlate with Srila Prabhupada's unlimited qualities in this particular aspect, that how Srila Prabhupada was that personality who was in this mood. He never wasted a single moment. He was all the time thinking how he could use his energy, his time for propagating Krishna consciousness. Once one senior Vaishnava was mentioning that Srila Prabhupada, when he was spreading this Krishna consciousness movement in the West, he was constantly traveling from one end to the other end. In fact, throughout his 11 years of his spreading the movement, he said that it was, he almost traveled 14 times across the globe. And this person was telling that whenever he would come from America to India, he would have jet lag. I never know what is jet lag, never traveled, but it is mentioned that somebody who travels that distance from the west to the east or east to the west, he suffers what is called a jet lag. That means he can't do anything normal duties at least for the first 1 or 2 days. During daytime he will feel sleepy, during nighttime he will be awake, like that. But he said when Srila Prabhupada would travel like this, as soon as he would come, there will be people receiving, would receive him, and he will have to give them darshan. Then he has to, you know, talk to the management, find out the problems, or just, you know, engage them in some activities. Some problems will come from here, there, and he has to solve those problems. And then later on, he has to also translate his books. And this he would do it in the night, between 10 and 12, and that would be everyday affair for him. There was nothing like jet lag for him. Means, in other words, you know, he would see that each and every moment of his was utilized just to propagate this Krishna consciousness. That was his, Srila Prabhupada's quality. The second quality is perseverance. The one in ecstatic mood, devotional service, perseverance. This is that a devotee in this mood, he perseveres in whatever situation, whether he is in a very troublesome situation also, he would always be engaged in serving Krishna, serving the Lord. In any situation of life, you would find that how Srila Prabhupada, it was not a very easy thing for him to spread the movement all over the world. So many difficulties he had to encounter, so many problems. He would be at one place in Japan and there will be some problems in America, and some issues will be there, pressing issues. He had to constantly contemplate on those issues also. We find that how he had to struggle so much for the Hare Krishna land in Juhu. He would be at one place, but he would constantly be in touch as to what's happening with the land. at one point of time that this land was totally, you know, rejected. It was given back also. It was, the deal was cancelled and Srila Prabhupada had to come back and fight for it. And so much he had to endeavor just to see that you get a land for yourself, for the devotees. And the way Srila Prabhupada fought, he actually fought like a Kshatriya. He fought tooth and nail with the owner of the land, and ultimately he got this. So he said that how Srila Prabhupada really, you know, in this circumstance, he just completely against all odds pursued to just obtain this. But this is one thing, but so many aspects, so many places he used to endeavor like this and go on pursuing this. Then third quality is detached, a pure devotee is detached. Srila Prabhupada starts centers, one place, travel to other place, and he would just give his disciples to manage the centers. He says, you just manage this. He would not be attached to any particular place or a center. He would just leave all the responsibilities to his disciples. And then it is mentioned that a pure devotee is completely prideless. He has no pride at all. And we find Srila Prabhupada, he never took credit for himself or whatever he has done. If somebody would do wonderful services, he would give all credit to them. He would give credit to his Guru Maharaj and said, I have not done it. He was manshunya, he was prideless in these situations. Anything, he would just glorify his devotees. The disciples knew that it's only by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada is doing everything, but Prabhupada never took credit for anything. He just gave all credit to his disciples. Then the fifth quality is hope, asha bandha. He says, a devotee in this situation, ecstatic love, is always hopeful. Hopeful of the mercy of the Supreme Lord. He was always hopeful that the Supreme Lord's mercy will be bestowed upon him and his dependents. Srila Prabhupada once, in when he was in Hawaii, this was right in the beginning, and Srila Prabhupada, the temple president of Hawaii, he just told Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, we'll get a sailboat. And we'll get a sailboat and we'll just go from island to island and we'll go for preaching. Well, we need only 12 people, that's all, Srila Prabhupada, and 12 good devotees, and we'll be able to do this preaching. So Srila Prabhupada said, we don't have even those 12 people in our movement. Huh? Who can do this job? In other words, he was, you know, at that time expressing that, you know, you're not fit to go for preaching. Means this devotee was saying, Prabhupada, we need only 12. He says, you don't have even 12 for preaching. But Srila Prabhupada had his hope that, you know, he says, if they are engaged in devotional service, then they will definitely receive the mercy of the Lord and they will definitely do this preaching. He had that hope. Ashabandha was there. And eagerness to, that is sixth quality, eagerness to achieve the desired success. Eagerness to achieve the desired success. Srila Prabhupada always was positive about the success. Sometimes the devotees may not express, Prabhupada, how is it going to be done? Prabhupada was very firm about this. He would just give the responsibility to his disciples and he said, just depend on Krishna and you will be successful. So Srila Prabhupada was that eager. Rupa Goswami mentions that one of the main qualities for progressing devotional service should be eager. Eager for service. So Srila Prabhupada actually was very eager for the desired success. He knew. He told his disciples, he said, just chant 16 rounds strictly minimum, follow the four regular principles and you will go back to Godhead. He knew that if you do this, you will be successful. That's all. So Srila Prabhupada was on that platform and he is also allowing us to come onto the platform. If you do this particular, follow these instructions very, very strictly. So just do this and you will go back to Godhead. That is his promise to us, and if you follow that, even it will be possible for us also. That was his thing. Seventh is attachment to the holy name of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada, we find that how he had so much of faith in the holy name that just by having faith in the holy name, he could instill that faith in the people in the West who never knew who Krishna is, who never knew what devotional service is. But just by instilling the faith in those people in the holy names of the Lord, just chant Hare Krishna, that's all, nothing else. And he had faith that yes, if these people take shelter of the holy names, then their life will be successful. He had attachment to the holy names of the Lord. And then eighth is that he would be always eager to glorify the Lord's wonderful qualities. Srila Prabhupada would be so much engrossed in describing the Lord's pastimes, glories of the Lord. We know that in New Vrindavan, we know how on the day of Janmashtami, devotees are asked to read from Krishna book, and already they were completely, they were fasting, approaching fast midnight. Srila Prabhupada would say, come on, read from Krishna book. So one chapter is over, they thought now it will be over. So Prabhupada said, next, and it went on for almost 2-3 hours. Srila Prabhupada was completely engrossed and he was involved in this, remembering the pastimes of the Lord. Whereas the disciples, the sannyas disciples and others, the dandas were falling down. They didn't know what to do because they are hungry. But he had this attachment to remembering the pastimes of the Lord. And the ninth quality of one, or the character of one in ecstasy, is that he has attachment to the holy land where the Lord performs his pastimes. Srila Prabhupada was that personality who had attachment to the holy land of Vrindavan. But at the age of 70, though he had so much of attachment to the holy land, he left Vrindavan under the instruction of his spiritual master. He left this holy land of Vrindavan, where anyone else would be just spending or deciding to spend the rest of his life there. But Srila Prabhupada left that place, went to the west. He actually took Vrindavan to the west. He actually converted the entire world into Vrindavan. And then, when he was about to leave his body, he again, by Krishna's arrangement, he could leave his body in Vrindavan, actually, in the holy month of Kartik. But Srila Prabhupada was never separate from Vrindavan. He was all the time, always in Vrindavan. Because he was always in the mood of remembering the pastimes of the Lord, remembering the Lord, always engaging in the service of the Lord. So he was always in Vrindavan. So he was in this particular mood. And when Srila Prabhupada left Vrindavan, he left his body in Vrindavan, all the inhabitants, Vrijvasis, they glorified Srila Prabhupada's wonderful feat. That how this personality, he left this holy place, went to the west, preached to so many people, established his International Society for Krishna Consciousness, came back again and left his body. A glorious departure. That was Srila Prabhupada's wonderful quality. So here we find that, person in this particular state of consciousness has these qualities. And Srila Prabhupada, in this particular chapter at the end, he mentions that such attachment to Krishna is kept very confidentially by him. Krishna never bestows such attachment to anyone. He says he awards this only to pure devotees. And who are those? He says, if one devoutly executes the regulative principles of devotional service under the orders of his spiritual master, he says, at the same time, he hopes for Krishna's favor and for his devotee's favor. One who strictly follows the instructions of his spiritual master and executes these principles of devotional service very, very strictly and seriously, and at the same time hopes for Krishna's mercy or devotee's mercy, Krishna will give this person. Otherwise, Krishna holds this with himself. Srila Prabhupada mentions such attachment to Krishna is kept very confidentially by him, and he awards this only to his pure devotees. And then it is said that the pure love of God, that is devotional service and pure love, it is supposed to be the extraordinary mercy of the Lord. It is said that when one is in ecstasy, and by the mercy of the Lord, one can get that particular state of pure love for Krishna. He says that is an extraordinary mercy of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Extraordinary mercy. That is only at the discretion of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. He says, provided you perform all these things, it is by the causeless mercy of the Lord that you will be bestowed upon pure love for Krishna. And what is it? It is nothing but this thing is increase in intensity. When this particular activity is increased in intensity, then that becomes pure love for Krishna. So we find that though we hear all these particular pastimes of the Lord, that how the Lord accepts his devotees, mood of devotion, accepts Sudama Vipras, Raghunatha Goswamis or Sridhar Kolvechas, we cannot expect that to happen with us. We are far, far away from that particular state. But then at least by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, the previous acharyas, we can at least understand that if we just stick to the orders of our spiritual master, bona fide spiritual master, and just serve him in that mood of humility, and at the same time we just pray for the Lord's mercy if he wants to give us, in that is our mood, then maybe we may get that mercy. We are not attached to that also. If we are just serving the Lord under the spiritual master's guidance and following the instructions, you know, that itself is enough for us, which may attract the mercy of the Lord. And then probably, you know, maybe we may come to a state where the Lord may accept in this way. Srila Prabhupada mentions that devotion service is, the process of devotion service is a cause and effect also. Means for achieving the pure love for Krishna, this is the process. And when we achieve pure love for Krishna, then that also we do the same. So we find the six Goswamis Vrindavan, they were in complete surrender to the Lord, but they would also follow the regulatory principles, another thing. Why? Because out of spontaneity, out of love for Krishna. Whereas at this stage, as sadhakas, we have to understand that we have to only depend on meditating on the following the instructions of our spiritual master. And if you just take shelter of a spiritual master and also follow whatever we have been asked to do, then as Srila Prabhupada said, that this pure love for Krishna is not a far way. Hare Krishna. Any comments, any questions? I have gone over time by 3 minutes. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Thank you very much for your patient listening. Hare Krishna.